The scriptures today is from Luke chapter 5, verse 12 through 16. En otra ocasión, cuando Jesús estaba en un pueblo, se presentó un hombre cubierto de lepra. Al ver a Jesús, cayó rostro en tierra y le suplicó: Señor, si quieres, puedes limpiarme. Jesús extendió la mano y tocó al hombre. Sí quiero, le dijo. Queda limpio. Y al instante se le quitó la lepra. No se lo digas a nadie, le ordenó Jesús. Solo ve, preséntate al sacerdote y lleva por tu purificación lo que ordenó Moisés para que le sirva de testimonio. Sin embargo, la fama de Jesús se extendía cada vez más, de modo que acudían a él multitudes para oírlo y para que lo sanara de sus enfermedades. Él, por su parte, solía retirarse a lugares solitarios para orar. The Word of God for the people of God. Thank you be to God.
I wonder if you bow your heads and let's pray together as we begin this time of the message. Holy and gracious God, we are so grateful for your presence here. And I pray now for all of us that your words might come, that you might bless the words that have been prepared, and that you might teach us whatever it is that we need to learn today, that we might gain some knowledge of you so that we might be in your world in a deeper way. And I pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, when I was a senior in high school, I attended a different church than my parents. And the church that I attended was in downtown Canton, Ohio, which may not sound like a giant town, but for us from North Canton, Ohio, Canton was like a big city. And I attended church there. This is important because my family all attended the church in North Canton that was 5 minutes from their house. We used to walk to it. It was great. But I took the car. I was in high school now, and my parents were very gracious. They said, you can attend that church, because I connected to a student ministry there. So I would drive down there, and I would do all the things downtown. So one Sunday afternoon, I got in the car. It's about 3 o'clock. I drove downtown to Canton, Ohio. It's about 20 minutes. And parked the car, went inside. We did everything. We did choir, and we did a discussion group, and we had dinner together, and then we had the actual fellowship meeting time. And then after that, my friend said, let's go get ice cream, because, like, we were the partiers that would go get ice cream. And so we did. We all got in the car, we drove, we got ice cream, and we closed the place down, because that's who we were, and got home, and I walked in the house, and I poked my head into my parents' room, because that's what we agreed. It's about 11:45 at night. And I said, hey, I'm home. And my dad looked at me and said, oh, I didn't hear the garage door. And I said, well, that's because I came in through the front door. And he said, you left the car in the driveway? And I said, car? I forgot. I drove the car downtown to Canton, Ohio, because I got so excited to spend time with my friends, and I drove with them, and they drove me home, and they dropped me off, and my father is looking at me with, like, incredulity, and then he said, okay, let's go get it, and I said, now? It's so late, and he, after a moment of taking a breath, looked at me, and he said, it seems to me if you are willing to take the responsibility for a car, you might be willing to go and get it. And I said, yes, of course, we will do that right now. What does it mean to be willing? What does it mean to be willing to be responsible, to be willing to do something? We use the word willing all the time. I looked it up. I did some of that dictionary work. And it says, to be willing, read this with me, it means to be ready, eager, or prepared. Are you willing to drive the car? Are you willing to take responsibility for my car, my father said, the one that I drive to work every day, back and forth, that you left downtown? Are you willing? What else does willing mean? Willing is often used in job evaluations. Throughout his career, he had demonstrated a willingness to compromise, right? Willing. So then I went ahead and looked it up in the Bible, and the Bible definition says to be willing is a readiness to serve, or being prepared to serve, a readiness to pray, or being prepared to pray. I like all of this. You see the theme here. You're eager, you're ready, you're going to do this. You are on the edge of doing something. And then the best one that I liked was the Greek translation of willing, because when we read the New Testament, it was written in Greek. So this is what the Greek translation says: readily given or unforced. Are you willing? My father was not willing to let me drive the car again for about a month. And even then, he was not eager. I don't think he was willing. What does it mean to be willing? Where in your life do you demonstrate willingness? Today we find Jesus and his disciples on this very long journey. They're walking from Capernaum, which is north of Galilee. If this is Israel, this is the Holy Land. Galilee is up here, and then there's a long walk down the Jordan River to Jerusalem. And they're on this long walk. They're coming from Capernaum, which is north of Galilee, all the way south to Jerusalem. It's about 80 miles. It would have taken them 5 to 9 days, depending on how quickly they walked. And in order to do that journey, you have to be willing to do it. Like, you have to be willing to every day get up. You're going to walk some more. You're going to interact with different people. The disciples had demonstrated that they were willing. They were willing to follow Jesus. They were eager to follow Jesus. They were somewhat preparing to follow Jesus. So they're just willing. They're in this. And it is on this journey, as they're walking this very long distance, that they have an interaction with this man on the side of the road. And this man on the side of the road has leprosy. Leprosy will test your willingness. Are you willing? And they're walking down the road, and then they see this man. We don't know much about him. We don't have a lot of details about him. But notice the word that Luke uses. Go ahead and read this with me, if you don't mind, at home too. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. He was covered with leprosy. Other interpretations say he was full of leprosy. Now remember, Luke, who's writing this gospel, was thought to be a physician. So he understood. He understood the devastation of this disease. He knew what would have happened. So when he says covered with leprosy, you can assume that this man did not have much of him that was free of the disease. Many of you know about leprosy. It is a disease of the nervous system. It impacts the nerves. It impacts the nerves, and if left untreated, there's severe pain and often extreme injury. And in biblical times, there was no treatment. There was this huge impact of the physical from leprosy that was devastating. But the mental impact was even more so. It impacted their place in the family, their place in the community, and even their identity. Take a look at this art. This is from the Middle Ages, and the two on the outside have leprosy, and the person inside is saying no. No, no, no. And what this means is it was thought to be highly contagious. People were not just repulsed by the leprosy. They were afraid of you. When you walked in, when you walked near them, they were afraid of you. Nothing. They would share nothing with you. They wouldn't give you a cup of water. They wouldn't give you a crust of bread. When you had leprosy, you had to cross to the other side of the street, the other side of the road, the other side of the path. When you had leprosy, you were shunned. Do you remember the height of COVID, and you would go out for walks because everybody walked outside because we had nothing else to do? So we would go walking, and maybe you're on the Reston paths and you're walking down the path, and coming down the path at a distance, you see other people. And you're walking towards each other, and it's kind of this little standoff of which side are you going to go to? And you both go to a side of the path, so no one's walking on the path anymore. And often you were wearing masks, even outside, and you would look at people and you would be kind of like this, but you didn't get close. And we had to do that. Like, of course we did that. That was the nature of the pandemic. But imagine if that was your life all the time. If when you walked into a room or on down a road, people would avoid looking at you and they would back away from you and they wanted nothing to do with you. In the ancient world, if it was discovered that you had a skin disease, you had something on your skin or a rash, you were taken to be in front of a high priest. And the high priest determined if you had leprosy or not. And if it was decided that you had leprosy, the high priest in that moment declared you unclean. You were marked. It didn't matter what was about to happen. It didn't matter if you were about to graduate from high school or start a new job or get married. It didn't matter if you were about to go away on the best trip of your life. You were marked unclean and everything changed. From that moment, everything changed for you. In ancient times, you had to wear worn and torn clothing so people could see from a distance that you had leprosy. You had to cover your mouth. Sound familiar? You had to wear a mask all the time. And any time you got close to people, people drew near to you or you drew near to people, you had to shout, unclean, unclean, everywhere you went. Can you imagine walking through your neighborhood, the place where you're familiar, and you see your neighbors on the deck and they're gathering and having a conversation, and rather than join them, you shout, unclean, unclean. And they turn away from you because they're repulsed by you. You know, we still do this today. Maybe we don't do it out loud, but in our own heads, if we feel dirty, if we feel separated from other people, if we feel like we're not worthy, either because of something we have done, some sin we have committed, or something that's been done to us, or something that has happened to us, we carry this in our head, and while we don't shout unclean, we walk around with this atmosphere of, I can't be with you. Imagine if you had to shout, grief-stricken, addicted, liar, cheater, sad. Imagine if you walked through life and you had to broadcast whatever it was that you were feeling. And that would mean that the very thing that you hate about yourself, the very thing that causes you shame, disconnects you from the rest of the world. The very thing that you long to be taken away from you, it becomes your identity. And not only do you shout your shame, you live your life alone and isolated. In ancient times, the law mandated that anyone with leprosy had to live outside of the town, on the edges, and that puts you in an even deeper place of vulnerability and danger. No one cares for you. No one looks out for you. You suffer alone. When Jesus and the disciples were walking down the road, a man with leprosy came, had shouted unclean, and then fell at a distance at Jesus' feet. And here's what happens. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, read this with me, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. My heart goes out to this man. How painful was his life every day. But I'm also just inspired by his courage, by his faith. How many times had he sought relief? How many times had he reached out for help? How many times had he been rejected? Because people are afraid of him. And still he comes and he falls on his face at Jesus' feet. And he says, Lord, if you are willing. We don't have the history. We don't know if he'd seen Jesus before, but we can assume that he did. Maybe he didn't see him. Maybe he heard about him. Maybe he heard him from a distance. He heard about the healings and the miracles that he could perform. He calls him Lord. So he understands something about this man. He intentionally put himself in the path of Jesus. And he says, Lord, if you are willing. You notice he doesn't say, Lord, if you're able. Lord, if you can do this. He says, Lord, if you are willing. And what does that mean, that he just says, if you are willing? I think what it means is that he believes Jesus has power. Power to make him well, power to give him a life that is truly life, and he has confidence in Jesus' ability, in Jesus' preparedness, in Jesus' eagerness to help. He doesn't say, can you make me clean? He says, you can make me clean. I think it says a lot about a person when they're willing to trust in the face of hardship and pain. I talked to a friend of mine who lives out of town recently, and he is in a very difficult time right now. He's really suffering. And he isn't suffering from something that you can see on the outside. It's something that's on the inside, and it eats away at him. You know how some of these things that are inside of us, they carve away at our confidence, at our willingness to be with people, at our willingness to believe anything good about ourselves. And he's in this place where he doesn't want to walk into a room with people because he thinks all of them see all the things that he sees in himself. And he didn't call himself unclean, but that's what he's feeling. And he's lonely. And he's fearful. And he said to me, sometimes I just feel like trash. I feel like something that people don't want to look at, something that people are easy, they step over, they're willing to discard it. And maybe you know someone like this, or maybe you feel like this. So many of us carry burdens and secrets that make us feel unclean or unworthy, unworthy of love, unworthy of joy, unworthy of wholeness. And it might be any number of things, a sin that you carry or something that happened to you. It might be something physical. It might be emotional. It might be I talked to someone who is just so grief-stricken over a loss that she suffered that she feels nobody can see her. She can't be herself because she is overcome. Something makes you feel unclean. And you begin to think that no one will ever be willing to see you for who you really are. And that's why what happens next is so important. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. I am willing. Jesus is eager to be present with this man, eager to do what he can for him. He doesn't back away. He doesn't pretend not to hear. He responds immediately. It's as if he is ready to act. So Jesus breaks these social distancing laws and he gets close to him. And he reaches out. Here's something that I want you to notice. This is something I learned in this last week. You will notice that before he heals the man, what does he do? He touches him. Jesus reaches out and touches the man who has leprosy, the man who is unclean, the man who feels unworthy, the man who everyone else shuns. Why does he do that? I think he does it because he wants the man to understand he loves him regardless of what he is carrying. He loves him regardless of the uncleanness of him. He loves him regardless of anything extra that he carries. He reaches through all of the junk and he says, I am willing. I love you as you are right now. And then he heals him. If you've ever felt unworthy or unwhole or unclean, and you think before I can receive Holy Communion, before I can walk in the church, before I can talk to that person, before I can be accepted, I've got to be better. I've got to be well. I've got to be whole. I've got to have it all together. And Jesus is saying, no, I will touch you in the midst of all of the junk in your lives because I love you now. Jesus is willing. Jesus is willing to come close. He loves him in his uncleanness. And you know what we call this? We call it grace. Say grace. Grace. It's such a beautiful word. Grace is the arms of Jesus reaching into the mess and junk of our lives and loving us regardless of the state of our lives. Let me say that again. Grace is Jesus reaching into the mess and junk of our lives and loving us regardless of the state of our lives. Grace is a free gift, a gift with no strings attached, a gift that we do not deserve, and yet Jesus is willing for us to receive it. Jesus took people who were sick and hurting and placed them in the center of his love, in the center of concern, in the center of his mission, and the center of his passion. He took people who felt like trash, like my friend, and loved them. And if you feel like you are sick, or you are hurting, or you feel like trash, I want you to take a look at these pictures. Take a look at those. Take a look at the next one, and the next one. Every one of those was created from trash, from things that had been thrown away, things that were discarded, and the artist looked at them and said, I can make something beautiful out of this. I think this is astonishing. This is what happens when you allow Jesus to touch you. And friends, Jesus wants to reach out and take all that you're carrying and give you grace and allow you to feel whole and clean. Jesus is willing. And so then the question that I want to ask you as we move towards the end of this time is, are you willing? If Jesus is willing to come and reach out and touch you in the face of the difficult places that you're in, then the question is, are you willing to do the same? Are we willing to act like Jesus? Are we willing to reach out to the vulnerable and say, I hear you, I am with you, and I will walk with you in this mess? Not in ways that are dangerous, not in ways that where boundaries are important, but in ways that we tend to look at people and go, unclean, unsafe, I can't do that, unwell, I'm not going to do that. Are you willing? Today we are, again, as you know, in the Gospel of Luke, and Jesus teaches us to care for the vulnerable. And so you remember that willingness is a readiness to serve, being prepared to serve. Who do you know that needs that touch? Can you think of someone? Can you close your eyes for a minute, just a few seconds? Who comes to mind that you think needs to hear that they are worthy and that someone is willing to reach out to them? And I hope you have someone in your head. And if you're like me, you're thinking, yes, yes, I do know someone. I can think of someone, but I have several excellent excuses why I'm not going to do it. And I'm too busy, I don't want to bother them. We often don't want to reach out to people because we think we're going to offend them. I don't know what to say or do. It doesn't matter if I do something, I'm sure somebody else will do something. But friend, these people are walking around and in their heads they're shouting unclean, and they just want someone to reach out. So I would encourage us to do something. Doing something is better than doing nothing. Doing an act of love is what we are called to do. I would encourage us as the church, as Florist United Methodist Church, as Restoration Church, as the Church of Jesus Christ, to reach out to those who feel unclean. You can do it in very simple ways. You heard Carol Benson talk about some acts that you can do as congregational care. You can go visit someone. And what a gift it is to someone who is lonely. When you go out in the gathering space today, there are these beautiful prayer blankets that people from our congregation make. And they pray over them as they make them. And then we give them to people who are hurting. You can go out and get one if you have someone who will be blessed by it. It's all women that make these blankets, so I'm not being sexist, but these women come together and they pray and they long to know that these will be a blessing to someone else. You can prepare a meal for someone. My daughter's family has been through a hard time recently, and people have brought her meals. And when she would come home from the hospital or appointments, and she knew there was a meal in the house, oh my goodness, it made her feel seen and cared for. You can do that. You can, I think we have a checklist here. You can write a card, you can send a text, you can make a phone call. You can do anything that you think will let someone know that they are loved. Friends, this is why we exist as a church. To reflect the love of God willingly and compassionately every day. We are called to encourage and love those who feel outside, outcast, outlawed, vulnerable, those who feel they are unclean. Take a look at this text one more time. Would you read this with me? While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." This text teaches me two things today. Two things. One, Jesus is always willing. Doesn't matter what you have, Jesus is willing to see you. And number two, we are called to do the same. So as we sing the final song today, I would encourage you to put in your head, "I am willing. What is it you want me to do?" And Jesus will answer you. Would you bow your heads? I'd love to pray with all of us. Holy God, Holy Spirit, Lord Christ, I would pray for us that we would hear this man call out, "If you are willing." And hear that as a question in our mind. And then hear Jesus say, "I am willing." And what does that mean in our lives? What does that mean if we feel lost and broken, that Jesus is there regardless of what we carry? And what does it mean for others when we say, "We are here and we are willing"? Stir up in us some discomfort. Stir us up in us a desire to go and reach out and offer ourselves as willing. And I pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.